Hello, and welcome to our website, hccdonna.org. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon titled Time to Grow, Part 4, Freedom to Grow in Spiritual Maturity. In this sermon, we learn that since Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses, we are free from the law, but do not use your freedom for unrighteousness. Use your freedom to love and grow into spiritual maturity. And now, on to this week's sermon by our senior pastor, Elias Ozuna.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in church. It's good to fellowship and worship together. We've been in 2019 on a series for the year, which is Sow and Grow. And it's important that as Christians, we're intentional. That as Christians, we don't just go through the motions. As Christians, we should be very intentional. And that's kind of what the beginning of this year has been about. We'll eventually go into other series, but I think it's so important that we establish our feet on solid grounds and doctrine, right? And that's kind of my heart is you know, we don't just want to be going through the motions, and we want to be intentional about our walk with Jesus, about who we are. We want to grow. We don't want to stay stagnant. There are so many Christians that they get saved and excited, but then they're just stagnant, right? They just go through the motions of Christianity. And I don't want that, because going through the motions is another way of saying lukewarm, right? Just kind of going through the motions. And we don't want that, because we want all that God has for us. We don't want just to oh, I'm saved, so I guess I don't have to try anymore. Or, you know, we want to be intentional about making a difference for the kingdom of God. And that's what this has been about, is laying a foundation that's very, very solid in doctrine and in growth and maturity. So that's what we've been kind of emphasizing. And so that's, I want to continue that today. Last week, I spoke about that God works with us uniquely. And I use the example of Miriam, who decided that she could make a decision on whether or not Moses was sinning or not. And that ended up being a big mistake, right? She's, Moses, you married an Ethiopian woman, and that's not right. The only problem is that when God heard it, God's like, I speak to Moses directly. How do you know what I told him to do and not to do? Uh-oh. You don't want to be in there with God, right? And God was not happy. We read that story. And, you know, God was working with Moses uniquely for a reason and a purpose. See, God is always just. And I said this last week. God is always just. Just because you don't think it looks just to you doesn't mean God is not always justice, right? And that's important to always, those are just facts and truths that just, God is always justice. I know the world looks crazy, and I know it doesn't look, things don't always look right, but God is always right. Amen? Is the word of God, is the truth, and you may not understand it. It doesn't mean that God in his higher wisdom and higher understanding doesn't know exactly what he's doing, because he does. I like to say, God is not confused, right? Amen. Repeat after me. God is not confused. He's not confused. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's a good God, and he's looking out for you. And the things that you struggle with in life, or the things that don't go your way in life, it's... You know, that's why that scripture, all things work together for good. Somehow, some way, God's going to make something, a masterpiece out of your life. Somehow, some way, if you are serving him, he will make a masterpiece out of your life. The ones that never figure that out are the ones that are just going through the motions and being lukewarm about it. Don't do that, because my heart is for all of us to strive, to be intentional, to keep growing and growing. And Miriam thought she would go ahead and tell Moses that he was wrong and in sin. And God was working very uniquely with Moses. And he does that. But I did want to mention, always when I say that, see, I said last week, this statement at the beginning, I said, a sin to one person is not always a sin to another person. And it was like, that doesn't sound right, Pastor. But obviously, the moral laws, the Ten Commandments, those are true for all of us, right? Don't lie, don't steal. Obviously, the moral laws are true. But there are certain things that the Holy Spirit is working with you uniquely that for you it is wrong, but not necessarily for everybody, right? When I was about 19 years old, I felt the Lord didn't want me to go to the movies, not because the movies are you know, evil, wrong, dark. I mean, we know Hollywood, it's crazy, but that wasn't, and it wasn't like I was supposed to go to everybody, don't go to the movies. It was just something between me and God, and for a couple of years, I kept it, and I remember going back to the movies after that. I didn't even share that with a lot of people. It was just something that uniquely God was dealing with me about, and that's okay, that happens. And I remember going back to a movie with Alyssa, and the movie, after like 2 years of not going at all, we went back to see China Cry. I don't know, you all remember that from the early 90s, right? And it was a movie about missionaries. But that's just an example. God's working uniquely with you. And the Holy Spirit will work uniquely with you about your own life. But it doesn't necessarily mean it applies to everybody. And Miriam was trying to apply all her thoughts to Moses. and it was wrong. And so that was the point of last week. So God works uniquely with you. So today I wanted to talk about the freedom you have in Christ and how to use that freedom maturely in Christ. How to use that freedom in a way that doesn't, you don't take advantage of your freedom, right? Well, when you tell a two-year-old, you're free to roam in this parking lot, right? That's dangerous, right? And when God says you are free from the law of Moses, that could, if you don't watch out, you can get into trouble, right? Especially if you're a two-year-old, right? Metaphorically meaning immature Christian, you can use your freedom and get into a lot of trouble as a Christian because, oh, I'm not under the law and God will forgive me and that kind of attitude, right? So the main point today in your notes, everyone have their notes. If you'll just wave them to me like this, I'll know that Pete and Judy did a good job. Very good. Very good. Everybody has one. The main point today, since Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses, we are free from the law, but do not use your freedom for unrighteousness. Use your freedom to love and grow into spiritual maturity. Amen? That sound good? Amen. All right, you ready to learn and grow today? All right, let's do this. So growing in the Lord. Growing into spiritual maturity. A few lessons that we've come by already. Number one, we read that Paul, a scripture that Paul was saying that quarreling shows your immaturity. If you're constantly quarreling and in conflict and stuff that doesn't even matter, you know, that's a sign of immaturity, right? It's like, stop touching me, right? There's the sister and the brother, remember? Like 9-year-old, 10-year-olds, 7-year-olds, stop touching me, right? All this quarreling always going on, sign of immaturity. The Word of God made it very clear that God's a God of order and that we should follow the authority that God has put in place. Policemen, teachers, and all of that. We learned that a few weeks back. Also, last week we learned that God uniquely works with us. And sin is not always a sin for everybody because God can be working with you specifically and wants to see your obedience in something. So today we're going to learn about God gives us freedom to grow into spiritual maturity. In the Old Testament, thank you, Eloi. See if this works. Testing, very good. In the Old Testament, you know, and a lot of people start asking us tough questions as Christians, and why is this? Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, and the Old Testament, why don't you follow some laws and the Ten Commandments you follow, but the other laws you don't follow? You know, have you ever had those kind of discussions with people? Well, if you haven't, we're going to learn a little bit about how to answer those today. In the Old Testament, God used Moses to establish the Mosaic Law, right? We know that. We saw the movie The Ten Commandments, right? And he wrote the Ten Commandments on the stone. But above the Ten Commandments, those moral Ten Commandment laws, and there was other commandments. The law of Moses covered so many topics. And just to get a taste of some of these topics, Let's go to the scriptures, Leviticus 11, chapter 1 through 4, just to get an idea of how many laws there were, because we can't go through them all here in like 30 minutes. So we're going to just kind of get a touch of it. Let's read Leviticus 11, chapter 1. What kind of laws? And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof is a cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that shall ye eat. Eat those. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat. Don't eat these kind of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof, as the camel, because he cheweth the cud, but divideth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. So here we have some food laws that were given to Moses to tell the people for a reason. See, this is where we get into, we don't understand God's whole big picture of what's going on. And the time then is different than the time now. And there was a purpose for these laws. You know, if you ask me for my opinion, I give you my opinion. Things like God was trying to keep them healthy. Because remember, God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and he said, you will be a nation. A nation will come out of your seed. So in my opinion, when God put all these laws into place, it was to fulfill that promise. So he needed a healthy nation of Israel, right? He needed them to marry within in order to build a nation that he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where now it doesn't apply anymore, right? These things we don't have to follow anymore. So there's reasons, and it's bigger than we can even understand, that God put these laws in place. And so there's an example of one of the laws that they had to follow we call them the food laws, or the purity laws and food laws. They also had to do certain things and wash. When someone had leprosy, they had to follow 7 days you do this, and they had to follow all these laws for a purpose. And then we also know, if you look at Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1, we also see that there was these laws pertaining to animal sacrifice and sin. So let's look at that one just to get a taste of what that law was about. Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of thy commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, you shall go against any of them. If the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring forth his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And here you have a sacrifice of a bullock for a specific kind of sin that was committed. And if you read through the book of Leviticus, you will see so many different types of sacrifices of animals in order to atone for some sin that was caused or transgressed. So here you get an idea of the Mosaic law. You got your food laws, you got your purity laws of, and then you have here the animal sacrifice laws. And then we have the moral laws. Let's go to what scripture is that? Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And we know these because these are the Ten Commandments. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, but of the house of out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Right. Number one, right? Have no gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, and nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all in them that is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee. You want to live long? Go apologize to your mother and father and honor them, whether they deserve it or not. That's what I think of that scripture. It's a promise that God's made. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So here we have the Ten Commandments. And these are our laws, moral laws, that we keep even to this day. So all of this, obviously, we don't live by all of this at this time. I don't see any of you doing animal sacrifices anymore, and I hope you're not. Right? Good, because PETA will come after you. Right? Is PETA the right organization? Is that the animal? Yeah, PETA. They'll come after you. Right? And when Jesus came, things changed. And if you remember Jesus, and we're going to read it here in a moment, Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law, not to get rid of it. Very interesting. So it's good to know that that's what the Mosaic law was all about. We didn't read them all, but you got an idea. And now we want to get into, we're free from those laws. The Bible is very clear. We're free from those laws. But what does that mean for us today as Christians? And we want to grow in this area. So let's turn. Let me cover one more topic about 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you'll turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. You know, this is very important that we don't lose this as Christians, that we don't lose right and wrong, what we teach our children about sexual immorality, about things that the world is just goes completely the opposite direction on these issues. But it's very clear in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Let's read there. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, right, which is sexual relations outside of marriage and things like that. Fornication has its own definition. Homosexuality, things that are against God's word. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. In verse 3, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. In verse 8 and 9, let's skip there to 8 and 9, just on that same chapter, verse 8. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. I mean, you can't get any more clear than that in Scripture, right? Intimacy outside of marriage is sin. Amen. Amen. All right, good. You haven't been corrupted by the world completely, or at all, I hope. But it is good for us to stand firm on these principles and teach our children these biblical principles, because the world is totally doing the opposite and rebelling against this word. Amen? Amen. It says it right there, but if you cannot contain yourself, get married, right? What will the world teach us? Oh, you got to live with somebody for a while, and then that kind of, well, that's not biblical, right? And that's why it's important to know these things. And whenever the opportunity comes to get everything, line up your life with God's word as soon as you can when God reveals things to you. That's important. That's very important. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 12, just want to read that too as it pertains to this topic. What is right? What is wrong? Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Listen to verse 12. So you can see very clearly that what's right and what's wrong there. But verse 12, listen to this. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This is important to grasp what the Word of God is saying here in the New Testament, and that is this, that we are free from the Mosaic law, but don't use your freedom to do things that control you, that put you under darkness, that put you into bondage of sin. And that's very clearly what this is talking about. You know, we're not under all that. That's why when Jesus came, he said, it's not important, I mean, what you eat. It's about what's in your heart, right? Jesus himself said that. He also said about the Sabbath, right? He said, yes, keep the Sabbath, yes, but if someone needs help in a car accident, go work. Fix it. Don't let the Sabbath become your Lord. Right? So Jesus clarified some things, and he made sense of them, and he said, I haven't come to break that or get rid of that, but to fulfill it. And of course, we all know that we no longer have to sacrifice animals because Jesus is our final sacrifice. When he was sacrificed on the cross, it was done. It was over. We're free from all that, those requirements, right? It doesn't mean God may not speak to you uniquely and say, hey, I'd like for you to keep this or that. That's I just said it last week, right, that he'll work uniquely with you on certain things. And that's okay. That's between you and the Lord or you and your spouse and the Lord. So, but other people don't have to, right? We're all free from it. But God will work with you in a unique way. But it's good to understand it's not all black and white necessarily. Sometimes God works with you uniquely, but what is black and white is you should not steal, you should not commit adultery, right? You cannot bear false witness. Those things are clearly black and white. There's no wiggle room on that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 12, this is our foundation of what I want us to learn today. All things are lawful because we're no longer under the law. We're free from the law, but not all things are expedient. In other words, be wise in your decisions. Be wise in your decisions. And that's important. When Jesus died, the temple and the veil was torn. And Jesus fulfilled the law of Moses. So now when we look at Jesus Christ as the author and the finisher of our salvation, Jesus washes our sin away, and we stand righteous before God because of our faith in Jesus Christ. So we are all free from the Mosaic law. However, your freedom in Christ should not be an excuse to sin against God's moral laws. Like the Ten Commandments, like sexual immorality, all those things we've talked about. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, if you'll turn there, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. This is what Jesus said. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law. He's talking about the law of Moses. I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets like Moses. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. In Jesus is righteousness. Period. You see, in the Mosaic law, they were trying to find their righteousness in there because they didn't have Jesus. They were trying to find their righteousness in being obedient to to the Mosaic law. But when Jesus came and he died and he rose again, we don't need to go find righteousness in those laws. Jesus Christ is righteousness. Amen? Doesn't that simplify it all for us? Aren't you glad you don't live in before Christ and you had to go find a lamb to sacrifice? He paid it all. And because he paid it all, each one of us have freedom to accept Jesus Christ and to just let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you into righteousness. And the Holy Spirit will tell you what's right and wrong as you go, right? As you read his word, as you pray, as you go to church, the Holy Spirit will guide you into righteousness. Because that's what Jesus said, I will send you the Holy Spirit to lead you, to guide you into all truth. And that's the gospel, and that's the story. So we no longer need to be confused about all the Mosaic law, because if you go read the book of Leviticus, boy, you know, it can get pretty confusing. But here Jesus simplified it for all of us. He is righteousness. He did fulfill the law. He's a good God. He's a good God all the time. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to ask Michelle to come play some music as we get ready to close. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. We're all free. Amen? Don't you feel free? I feel free. We're free. We don't have to do A plus B plus C plus D and then we're righteous. No. We're free from that. Only don't use your liberty. Don't use your freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love, serve one another. I love this scripture. Do not use the freedom you have in Christ to sin. Don't use your freedom to do things of this world. Use your freedom to love and to serve people. That's where you're going to find your fulfillment. You know, everybody's looking for fulfillment, for satisfaction, for something. And the truth is, you'll never really ever find it until you're in God's perfect will. Right? That's the truth. You can look for it all you want in relationships and people go to alcohol. You can go look for all the fulfillment you want in this world. You will never, ever, ever find it until you get on your knees and you surrender your will to God's will. And then you'll serve and you'll love people, and then that's the only place you'll ever find it. And the hard thing is that you got to die to get there. Right? You gotta surrender. What does Jesus say? He says, if you're going to follow me, you got to take up your cross. You got to die to live. To truly live in Christ, you got to just surrender your own agenda. That's easier said than done. Right? Because all of us are trying to hold on to that agenda of ours because we want things to work out our way. But God's saying, just, you're free, but you're free from all this stuff, but use your freedom to love. Use your freedom to serve. Jesus died for you, and you're free from all this, but mature Christians understand that they need to use their freedom to serve, to live for God, to find righteousness in Him, in the name of Jesus. He's the only way. In verse 14, ending this, Galatians 5, 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Wow, talk about simplifying it. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know that if you truly love your neighbor as yourself, you'll obey all the Ten Commandments? It would all just, if you truly love, What is love? Love is patient. The Bible tells us love is kind. Love doesn't hold grudges. But at the end of the day, if I could simplify love, it's this one thing. I care and I want the best for you. Whether they're your enemy, your friend, your relative, your spouse, I care and I want the best for you. The best God has for you. That kind of simplifies things. Love is just caring for people, that God's perfect will is established in their life. Love. So here we have this complicated law of Moses. And here we read this scripture that says all of the law is fulfilled by love. You know what you come to realize the older you get or the more mature you get in Christ? It's not as complicated as we made it seem. Surrender to God. Give Him your life. Accept Him as Savior and just love people. Use your freedom to do that. Use your freedom to do that. To love. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are free. We are free and we choose our freedom to worship you, O Lord God. We choose our freedom to be here on Sunday mornings, to give you honor, praise, and glory. Because one day we will all witness how every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and Jesus Christ is righteousness. So Lord, we choose this day to serve you, to be here. You are so worthy to be praised. You are so worthy, Lord. And you simplify things for us, Lord. If you are the answer. You are the answer. It's not any more complicated than that. Whatever we're going through in our lives, whatever struggles and battles and trials, the answer is Jesus. More and more of Jesus. I didn't plan this, but just a moment. If you, let's keep your head bowed, eyes closed, but if you're here this morning and you've kind of been drifting away and here you are at this moment and the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart and you want to just make sure before you leave today that you're headed in the right direction, that you've put things right with God. If that's you, I want to give you an opportunity to come and to the altar and I want to agree with you. I want to pray with you and agree with you and send you off to that new commitment to use your freedom for good, for righteousness. I'm going to count to three and I'm not going to hold it long. If that's you and you just need to set it right before you leave today, today's the day. Today's the day where something needs to change and turn. And you're going to begin to use your freedom for righteousness. If that's you, it's your day. God, and you know it because God, you just like, how did you know? Or how, why? Because God knows and He loves you. So I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, don't be embarrassed because don't worry. The people in this place will celebrate with you, not. If that's you and it's just time to make that turn, to turn on that switch, to use your freedom for good, it's time. One, two, three. If that's you, just come to the front. hold it for a little bit here. But if that's you, it's time. Today's the day. I wasn't planning to do this at the end, but if that's you, you just need to turn on that switch. You need to turn something around, and you need to start using your freedom, not for sin, but use your freedom for righteousness. That's good. That's good. Today's the day. Today's the day. We are free from bondage. And it's time to turn the switch on. It's time to grow. It's time to be spiritually mature. It's time. Thank you, Lord. It's time to totally trust in God. It's time to totally trust in Him. Joseph, if you'll come. Michelle, lead us. Thank you. To be praised. We're free. We're free.
Can't get enough.
Oh, we're free.
Oh, this is for you, Jesus. We love you.
Love you, Lord.
We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. Can't get enough of this.
Father. We're free and we feel your freedom, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go out and we're going to be free to just live for you, Lord. And I know that you have a plan and a purpose that's beyond our understanding. And Lord, you've asked us to, in 2019, to just keep sowing and keep growing in the things of the Lord. And that's what we're committed to do. Lord, and we're determined to make a difference in the world around us. And seal this in our hearts. We know that we're free to grow. We're free to grow and to live in righteousness. And we're going to do that. We need more of you, Lord. Bring us back next service, ready to worship and ready to continue to build off of the momentum and continue to grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.